There's a submission, John chapter 4, if you will. I think my father used to keep the same text all the time. He preached two texts all the days I knew him. And I went to 100, probably 1,000 of meeting with him, but they always came out fresh and anew. And I think this text is the most profound text on bringing us into a place where we can escape earth and begin to function in heaven. And there's a term that came to me of submitting to the system of worship. Worship has to be submitted to. There's a few, before I read the scripture, there's a few things I want to tell you how you're going to have to adjust yourself and align yourself to enter into the real realm of unusual anointed worship. Unusual anointed worship. One of the things you have to have a revelation. And so the cry must be out to God. God, I need revelation more than information. See, because heaven would begin to reveal itself when you, the further you permit the anointing to escort you in the presence of God, heaven will begin to reveal some things that would not come normally, that cannot come just by information, but you have to have a revelation. Did you hear me now? Y'all listening? And then there's this principle, God, do only what you can do, no self-promotion. I don't want no self-promotion in my life, Lord. Do what only you can do. In other words, let my promotion come from you. Yes. Yes. Are you following me? All right. So, one of the pertinent factors of the kingdom, it revolves around self-denial. Self-denial. You have to deny yourself. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow after me. Self-denial. Somewhere along the line, we're going to talk about self-suicide, because you got to kill yourself if you really want to get in the presence of God. Because self is a blocker. Self won't do the odd thing sometime, extraordinary thing that heaven wants you to do. The flesh despises worship because it is cut off from blocking the move of God. The flesh despises worship because the flesh want to block off the move of God, because if it block off the move of God, it stays in charge. But once a person learn how to worship, it block the flesh off. And the Spirit of God is in charge. Got that? In worship, you listening? In worship, Satan is paralyzed and God is glorified. It stops his hand from moving in your life, and it avails yourself to God's hand to begin to move supernaturally in your life. The reason the church haven't got there, we've been playing church. And Satan has no paralysis when you're playing church. He's just loose. He's the god of this world. But when another dimension comes in your vicinity, and you have the ability to activate that other dimension, you come into a spiritual positioning that is beyond that I'm a church member of so-and-so church, or, you know, I got baptized. You come into a spiritual positioning in the time of worship that you cannot be denied of anything that God promised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said you cannot be denied of anything that God promised. If you get further enough in the spirit realm, if you permit the Holy Ghost to escort you further enough and don't turn his hand loose, he will take you high enough that you cannot be stopped. Amen. Amen. You see that? And so this is a long distance from singing three songs, preaching three scriptures, and shouting go home. No, this is the dynamics of the spirit, which will go home with you and make you a master on your job, a master in your parenting, a master. You will never relive religion again. Religion will stink in your nostrils because you recognize how far it has held you off, how far it has held you back from really seeing the majesty and the sovereignty and the magnifying power of God lifting you and ruling and reigning in your life. You will know it when you smell it. Once you smell the fragrant of the goodness of God, once you experience the aroma of the bread of God, you're not going to want nothing else. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. I promise you that. So may Satan be paralyzed in this house, and may Jesus be magnified, and may God be glorified. And then you have to be thankful for a fresh revelation and a fresh presence. Worship take you into a fresh revelation and a fresh presence of God that every Christian should want to go to. Amen? Amen. So, Satan is against worship. Satan loves performance because performers have excitement with no empowerment. It has entertainment with no enlightenment. And so after you get to jumping, you got nothing to work with. And he's a master on deceptive worship. Good God Almighty. He's a master on deceptive worship because he knows real worship. And so he deceived the church not to worship properly because he knows how much presence of God that worship would make available. So he wants us to go through the motion. And let me rhyme a little bit, but he don't want us to dive in the ocean. He don't want us to get in the real place. He don't want us to stroke into the real place. He don't want us to, they call one part of swimming dog paddle. He don't want us to dog paddle. You dog paddle longer than you stroke, you know. Dog paddle, you keep yourself up. Satan don't want us to know that. And once we get in 1 ounce of worship, at the first ounce of worship, at the first level of real worship, he's paralyzed. Why? He can't go there anymore. See, he was the head worshiper. And on the other hand now, our text is spoken by the master worshiper. Our text is spoken by, you listening? By the master worship trainer who can train you to get in the presence of God before you snap your finger. He know how because he never left out. And so when you become a real worshiper, you never leave the presence of God. God's presence never leave you because he always know he can tap your shoulder and you'll go off in a crazy praise. You begin to admit, Lord, I know I didn't do this. All the good things that happened in my life, this job and this, all this stuff I got, I know I didn't do this. And I will give you some wild praise now. I don't care who don't like it. I don't care I don't care who talk about me. I don't care who call me stupid, who call me religious, who call me a fanatic, who call me charismatic. I want to worship you. Because you're the Lord my God. You're the one who made me. You created me. You washed me. You made me whole. You forgive my sin. You put blood on me. You died for me. You got up for me. Yeah, I'm going to praise you. And if somebody in this house going to be indifferent about my praise, just get back, get out of my way, because I recognize what God has done for me, And there's no telling what he's about to do for me. And I won't be in the right frame of mind, in the right spirit. What? How many of y'all believe Jesus knew the secret? Jesus knew the secret of contact. Jesus knew the secret of covenant. Jesus knew the secret of the kingdom. And Jesus knew the secret of connection. That's why he wrote John 15. I'm the vine, my father is the husband. See, he knew connection. See, worship is a connection. It's a connecting. You see, it opened the valve of heaven and closed the valves of hell. You see what I'm saying, young man? That's where we want to go. See, we are stronger than we are. There's a boldness in worship. When you worship God properly, you become bold. You see, who are you talking to? You know, what? See, people who worship have their image as a receptionist of what come in their life. Now, Deidre, my daughter-in-law, she answered the phone, and she going to check you out. But when you get to Barbara, it's over. You ain't getting to me unless you got a reason to get to me. So Barbara going to question you, going to get hot. The second question Barbara going to ask you, well, why you got to talk to him? I can't tell you. No, you can't have no secret. Now I got to need to tell him what he said, what you got to say. Then you get mad and say, that's all right, hang the phone up. Well, your image, as I lead you into worship this morning and share you some principles, your image going to be the receptionist of what come in your life. And something come to your mind that is not of God, your image going to answer and say, no, that's not my image. Can't come in here. And that's why worship bring you into the vastness of the image of God. We just like him. When you learn how to worship him, Mary, you're just like him. You turn into a queen. And your mind is a servant. And your body is a slave. And it does whatever the king said do. Don't you talk back to me, body. You do what I tell you to do. I'm the king. I'm the one connected with God. And you only hear body because of me. Y'all don't want me to preach this morning. I see the glory. So let's this mass sit down. Let's read about this. Because I want you to know the significant. And then, oh my, listen to what the Holy Spirit tell me. Look who he's training. John 4. Look who he's training. He's not training the head choir member. He talking to a whole just got saved. A whore just got saved. Jesus take time and train the saved whore how to worship. Why? It'll keep her from being a whore again. If she worship God, it'll keep her from going back. Sometimes we go back, you know. Christians slip off and go into things that they know is not right. But if they stay in the presence of God, they're not going to go, because God's presence ain't going to let them go into it. So God said, let me train her about worship. This is the first thing she need to be. This is the first thing she need to be trained about. Gonna keep her out of the hand of the enemy. I'm gonna train her about real powerful anointed worship. You read the story, young man. Read the story. Fourth chapter, John. You're gonna read that this woman have had five men who was not her husband. And then the Lord give her a drink of water that flush them husbands out. And now he said, now I'm going to show you how to maintain your walk with me. I'm going to teach you my master lesson. Woo! Don't seem like y'all getting this thing. I'm going to teach you my master lesson. The master lesson of the kingdom is knowing how to enter into real worship. Can't you see why he been trying to give us all these substitutes? Guitar player, all these substitute home players who really don't love God and really not trying to glorify God, they're trying to express their talent. Can't you see why he tried to send us all these entertainer singers? When my sir, where my mic? When I sing. Flow with the team. And let the glory come. So here, I never heard this. Yeah, Jesus training a saved whore. I see some of y'all think I'm not preaching, but that's exactly what it was. If you run around with a bunch of men, that's just what you are. That's what the Bible says you are, and I'm not going to change your name to make you happy. And so can I tell you something? If this worked for the trans hope, how would it work for you and I? Come on, talk to me here now. Y'all gonna let me preach this morning. This thing is the magnitude of the spirit realm. Say worship. That's the magnitude of the spirit realm. That's a no grounder for Satan. Satan can interrupt your prayer. He can interrupt your confession. But he cannot enter into the realm. Once you throw them hands up and them lips go to moving toward heaven, Satan knows that he is in trouble, because you're about to go somewhere that only a born-again child of God can go. Come on, y'all give God praise for that. You just learned. You understand what I'm saying, right? You just learned one of the secrets of the spirit world is worship. And you know, worship really has no respecter of a person who is saved. See, once she came from the other side, once she got saved, Jesus opened the door of worship for her. I mean, the Bible student I got in there, you see it, because the Spirit revealed it right now. And so he took her to the nitty gritty about worship. And that's what we're going to look at, and I'll start giving you some principles. You still here? Yes. Isn't that something? I mean, I heard the Spirit of God says Jesus is the master worship trainer. I said, thank you. I never heard that in 40-something years. And I get here this morning, and I walk to the corner of this pulpit, and he says, look at his love. Look at his forgiveness. Look how fast it worked. He instantly now say, young lady, you got a right to stay in the presence of God. It seemed like he forgot her past instantly. Am I helping anybody else? Forgot her past and put her in a category that she can go in the presence of God anytime she get ready, because that water you drank changes your status. You no longer who you are, but now you have become who I am. You didn't get that. Let me see that back. He told her, you not no longer who you are. Because you drank that water, you're now who I am. Come on, do that. Just like that. See, that's why the Bible used the word quicken. He uses the Hebrew 4:12, Ephesians 2. It's quick. You gotta do a quick way. When God getting you out of Satan's hand, and Satan come back and reach for you. Gone. That happened to me. Anybody else that happened to it? When you got saved, now you got to stay saved, you know. Salvation plus sanctification. But that was quick, boy. So now you know the text. Now Jesus talking to her. And he said in the 23rd verse, John 4:23. I need some Bibles open. John 4:23. Because here's the master trainer. He's training about the masterful move in the spirit realm, which is worship. And I'm talking about what happens when one yields to unusual anointed worship. What happened when one yields, or when one knows how to yield. You got to be taught, you see, to unusual anointed worship. In other words, glorifying God, thanking God for his goodness, praising God, recognizing his greatness, recognizing his glory. All he is can show up, all that he has, and all that he can do can show up at any minute when I got my mind on him in worship. You heard that? Made a wind blowing here today. Made a fire burn and made a rain start falling. Because this is your moment. Look at me. This is your moment. If you've been ever having a desire to do better in any aspect of your life, this is it. God is about to bring us places that we have never been before. And the good thing about it, when you get there, you can stay. You really don't have to die to go to heaven. You can get in a position where heaven escorts you to heaven. You can get to a place where you live the day of heaven on earth. Say it, the day of heaven. That is where real worship will bring you. Real worship will bring you of the days of hell. Everybody, I'm tired of the days of hell on earth. You know, fighting and got to fight so long. Quicken, immediately, straightway, start fast, right now. See, worship gonna get you there quicker than prayer. The moment you say hallelujah, all heaven gates start opening. Say, what? Who is that? Because that word can't be used for nobody else. See. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say glory to God. Say,
praise his holy name.
Thank you for your goodness. What that? How do you got an old saying now? They try to, how did it work for you? Say it, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise your holy name.
Lord, thank you for your goodness. You heard the term, let me see if y'all can help me here. There's a term that is used in natural life when a person has had so many problems that they call it a basket case. In other words, they don't feel they can do anything for that person. Well, that's not with God. Because if there's any basket thought case in my presence this morning, God going to remove all basket cases. Things that don't seem like they want to work right, things that keep talking back to you, things that telling you where you're not going to be, where you're not going to go, what you're not going to have, what you're not going to do. This morning, God is going to remove that basket case lifestyle where life ills keep talking back to you, telling you what it's not going to do. You're going to tell it, no, this is what you're going to do in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost. I shall move as God said I can move. Too many bastard cases in the church where the church send people to psychologists or send them somewhere else. Send them to some Alcoholic Anonymous group. And they keep saying, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic. Well, you're going to be an alcoholic. That's what Satan wants you to say. Don't even say I'm a former alcoholic. I'm what God say I am now. I'm what the Word say I am now. I'm what grace say I am now. I'm what forgiveness say I am now. I was, but I am. I am can't be nothing else. I'll take myself, put myself on the chopping block this morning. I told my sons, I said, I used to be a street woman. The women I used to run with don't even know me no more. They look right at me and can't see me. I died. I'm in the same body, but I got another spirit. Tell you the truth, I don't know them. This is good news for somebody in here. Somebody got some past trash that Satan tried to bring in your life. Every time something go wrong, he said, this because you remember? No, I don't remember nothing. That's gone. He said he wiped it out. This because you're trying to start a new thing in my life. It's not because of nothing I've done. It's because of something you're trying to do to me and don't want me to do something about it. Don't call up my past sin. I don't want you calling my past up. You must be out your mind. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm washed. Sit down. Come on. I'm trying to read the text. Sit down. Now, I don't want this to happen to us. Verse 22 must not happen to us. Verse 22 must not happen. I mean, John 4:22 must not happen. You worship, you know not what. No. You won't go to the next. We know what or who we worship. See that what? There's who. For salvation is of the Jews, and salvation is of the Gentiles too. So therefore, salvation is of me. You hadn't got that for yet. Then he says, now here, and the hour is here, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Then he gives us the MO of worship. Yes, the worship trainer. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what we have is the master worshiper and master training worship. And you listen to him in that 23rd and 24th verse. Now, one of the things the Spirit of God said to me that to train you in this area of worship, he says, real worship, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Is self-suicide. Yeah. See, because self can't worship. The natural shrinks and the supernatural expands. You thought you was walking close to God. But once you enter into the realm of worship, the natural part of you shrink, becomes small. And the supernatural part of you begin to expand. Other words, impossibilities becomes possible to a worshiper. Why? That worshiper enter into the I am-ness of Christ. I'm that. Whatever you need, I am. And you enter into an understanding of that. Oh, I'm not just a church member. I have a connection with a divine system that can cause the supernatural to flow in my life out of my mouth. Wow, man. You heard what I said? You heard that? You heard that? The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And John did some things, boy. So what I'm saying to you, don't see, And don't I think what John did give us a evidence of, watch it now, you don't have to have balloon flying and chandelier shaking for God to move.
Right.
See, John got tired up there. John got tired of it. He wanted to see miracles and signs. You know, he got questioned God. I don't know why did it happen to John, but he got off track.
Yes, yes, he did.
And died early. You the one? Go back and tell John. Dead being raised. Sick being healed. That's my evidence. See? Tell John I'm still doing it. Turn to John 3, verse 30. Real worship is self-suicide. The natural shrinks and the supernatural what? Get bigger. What? Now, what do you mean with a supernatural expand? Miracles, signs, wonders, things that are impossible, things that keep telling you no, start saying yes. Things that have pinned you down get under the bottom. You begin to reign. You begin to dominate. You begin to rule. And things stop ruling you. See? Because when you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, not my will, let thine will be done, you're going to start living another lifestyle. Plainly called in every day, no, not in every day, in anointed vernacular, it's the life of Christ. The life of Christ. You start living the life of Christ. You heard me? You start living the life of Christ. See, we're so busy about trying not to sin. We think our life is a not sinning, trying not to sin life. No, go on and live your life. If you live your life right, you're not going to sin. But see, Satan got us on the wrong end of the toll pole. He got us talking about sin, talking about him, talking about demon all the time. And you're having faith for demons and faith for failing and faith for sinning. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about his goodness. Let's talk about holiness. Let's talk about sanctification. Let's talk about I've been set free. And when you talk about that, you have faith for that. Faith for being free, faith for being holy, faith for being sanctified. We're focusing on 13 things not to do. Let me teach you now. If we need to focus on this one thing, you see, ma'am, you see what I'm saying? What to do, when you do what to do, the one thing what to do, the 13 things that not to do can't handle you because you're doing the one thing that you should do. That's another trick he put on us, see? Because you come to a church service and I preach 45, 50 minutes and 35 minutes about how sinful you are and how the devil trying to trick you and how you better hold on. How strong the devil is. He's not strong. The only strength the enemy have in your life, you give it to him. And you're not a plan on giving him none, right? All right, listen to him. All right. So Notice that voice. Notice John 3:30. Isn't this something?
Yes, sir.
Isn't this a humdinger? I mean, I don't know what I call it. This is a powerful voice, man. You see it?
Yes,
you see? This is a secret. This is a secret the average Christian don't know.
Right.
Yes, sir. See? What did he say? He must what?
Increase.
And I must what?
Decrease.
So stop trying to do it yourself.
Yes,
stop thinking it's your great faith and your great memorized scriptures and your great prayer doing it. You let him do it. Have faith in God. Decrease so he can increase. How did voice read? Ah, the Spirit of God just showed me. It's in chronological order. You can't decrease first. If you're trying to decrease by yourself, you're not going to decrease because your flesh and your senses and your psychic going to keep increasing. But when he increases in your life, when you yield to him and make a joyful noise unto him and enter into his court with praise and to his gate with thanksgiving, he began to magnify in your life. Let the Lord be magnified. He began to magnify in your life. There you go. You're going to start decreasing. Your will is going to start decreasing. Your wants, your desire without him will start decreasing, and all that he wants you to have will start increasing, and the Father knows best. Can you agree with that? The Father knows best. Sometimes we think we know what we need, we know what we need to do, and it's a good idea, but a good idea don't work in Satanic kingdom. Are you understanding that?
Yes.
See, your philosophy and your worldly strategy that you got out of some psychic book, talking about think positive, be optimistic with no anointing. Let me tell you what, being positive and optimistic without any no anointing do not work against Satan. You need an anointing. Am I right? Tell your neighbor, you need an anointing. You don't need anointing. That's what you need. That was going to destroy the yoke. You ain't going to destroy no yoke. You know, I read this great book, I'm okay, you okay. That ain't destroying no yoke. Pulling your own string. That ain't going to destroy no yoke. Living in the Iranian zone. The Iranian zone is a zone without Christ. Call me stupid, just let me be spiritual.
Yes, sir.
And see how we come out. You smart, I'm spiritual. See how we're going to come out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
See who's going to ride the horse and see who's going to walk.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is not about smartness. This is about yielding to the greater one. All right, let me give you the second one. How you get when worship with worship? Let me give you the second one. You just committed suicide. Because then nobody can kill you unless you let yourself die. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. You got your shouting clothes on? I won't shout anyway. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. You need to shout sometime in church. I won't shout anyway. I'm about to show you a phenomenon that the Spirit of God is going to reveal to you about worship. And it's based on this. It is, if you're really going to worship, if you really want a full percentage of God's presence. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You listening to me? If you really want a full flow. Otherwise, see, because a lot of time, some Christians think they're common. They think the other person can go there, but I can't. But God has made a space for all of his children to sit down at the table and say, Father, I'm glad you're my daddy. Don't let somebody else keep going up there in your place. You go yourself. Because once you sit at that table yourself, you know nothing out there can take you down. You know there's no power demon, no demon in hell. Once you sit at that table one time, you know I can come again and again. And finally you make up your mind, I'm not leaving the table. Are you following me? Am I preaching?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Y'all hearing anything?
Yes.
It's a little different, I know, because I'm doing it more forceful, because that apostolic anointing is getting strong in my spirit, and I'm trying to drive it in your spirit. If you come here with a problem, that problem means trouble now.
Yes,
then mess around and let you God help.
Yes, sir.
And find out I don't even need to know. I just stick my hand up and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I got my eyes on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ain't even talk about it. You know what it is. Praise your holy name. You've been so good to me. The devil says, she out of mind. She don't know she got a problem. Oh, Lord, you've been so good to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're a good God. Drive the devil crazy. It'll drive him crazy. I praise you. You know, it's like Paul and Silas was in jail when they broke out with that prayer, them chain hanging. And that was, are they crazy? Lord, you're a good God. I'm in jail, blood running down my back. I got my hand in the air. Lord, you're a good God. The God said, I got to do something about this. Here's what the Lord says. Your praise and your worship is not going to make a liar out of me. If you praise me and worship me, I'm coming to your rescue. If you praise me, look at what I'm saying something now. If you praise me and you worship me, I'm not going to let Satan mock your praise and your worship, because I told you if you praise and worship me, I'm coming in your presence, and I told you I'll do a mighty battle on your behalf. So I got to come if you praise me. I got to come if you worship me. I got to come if you call on my name, because I said I'll be there. So God is not mocked. Whoever worship him will enter into his gates. Shh. Shh. Now hear me clearly now. Hear me clearly now, because you may lose a few friends. Sit down, Michelle. You may lose a few friends here. You're going to lose a few friends. You're going to lose some idols here. Sometimes people get idols in the world in God's way. Sometimes somebody may have done something for you. Somebody, it become your idol. You can't let them become your idol. You can be blessed, but it can't become your idol. And so I want to show you something in Isaiah chapter 6. And here's what we're looking for. When you're going to truly worship and enter into an unusual anointed worship, it is dying to men and coming fully alive to God. What I said?
Dying to men and coming fully alive to God.
Other words, when you enter worship, you don't care what nobody think about you, because I'm not worshiping you anyway. I worship you long enough. I've been concerned about how my hair look, or is my head still on, or how is my necktie still straight long enough for you. Right now, God don't care nothing about no necktie, no wig, no hair, nothing. God want my heart. He want me to worship him, and I'm tired pleasing men, so now I'm going to start pleasing God. I'm going to give God the glory he do right in the midst of you. Set you up with your dignified self and don't want me to praise my God, but get back and give me some room. I got a few things. Listen to me. I'm going to see where you're at. I got a few things to cut up about. What? 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 You better get up, God. You know God been good to you. Nobody in this house should be sitting down now. I got a few things to cut up about. And he says, to those of you who are praising me right now, you haven't seen nothing yet. What I'm about to do in your life cannot be explained. Listen to me. Worship is not a forcing. Worship is a flow. You got to do it because you want to do it. Can't make you do it. But bless God, when you hear about how good it is, it makes you want to do it. I just want to cut up a little bit, because the Lord been good to me. He been good to my children. He been good to my grandchildren. The Lord God Almighty deserve all my praise. He deserve all my worship. Have the Lord been good to you? Have he done anything for you? Wow! Oh, oh, oh. If you got something in your body not working right, move now. It'll start working right. The glory of God is in this house. Miracles are happening. Signs are happening, Leroy. Wonders are happening in this house. The glory of the Lord is risen. What you don't use, you lose it. Don't let Satan lie to you talking about it wore out. Ain't nothing wore out. God about to give you new stuff. Take it. Receive it. Say it. Believe it. Act on it. Act on it. Kenneth Lewis had a limp. Devil tried to take him out. He had a limp. The Spirit of God started moving in the church. And I said to Kenneth, run. And he tried to run. And all of a sudden, many years gone. I don't know how many years. Many years. He know how many years. His wife know how many years. He's climbing scaffolds now. You know what scaffolds is? They go way in the air where nobody else don't want to go. You know, hanging on pipes going up there. He the head man on now. He climbing that. No more lamp. Shh. Yup. Y'all better watch yourself in this church. When that wind starts blowing, anything could happen, man. I believe God. How many of y'all believe God? I believe God, the highest being that exists. I believe there's nothing, absolutely nothing that God can't change. There's nothing that God can't do. The days of religion is over. We're going to live in revelation. We're going to live in resurrection power. Our God reigns. Let me show you this revelation. We'll close. Sit down. Let me show you this revelation. Isaiah 6. Oh, shout again. Cut up. Hallelujah. Jesus. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Deliverance has come. Victory has come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Here's a word from the Lord for you. It's very short, but it's impacted and powerful. Here's a word from the Lord. Now, you listening? Now, list the categories of everything you're dealing with. Everything is hindering you. I want you to hear this word from the Lord. Hear what it is. I got this. That's from the Lord. That ain't from Leroy. I ain't had that. I heard him say that. He said, tell them I got this. You see, he don't need to ask you what it is. He don't need to find out. He don't need an interview to find out what this is. He has no respect of no this, whatever it is. He said to tell you, you better write that down and date it. I got this. Don't worry about it anymore. Don't let Satan tantalize you about this anymore. You sit here now, I'm telling you prophetically, thus said the Lord. The Lord said, I got this. So when they try to put pressure on you, you know what you say? The Lord got that. No, the Lord got that. You got to come up with something else. The Lord got that. Then whatever you come up with, guess what? The Lord got that too. So everything that need gotten in my life is gotten. Because the Lord said, I got this. Aren't you glad you came here this morning? Aren't you glad? Woo! You don't want to miss this. That's missing your whole life. You didn't hear a word from the Lord. You here, aren't you? The Lord said, I got this. If it's a weakness, if it's a habit, if it's a shortcoming, if it's mistakes you've been making, if it's lack in your life, if it's some kind of sickness, some kind of disease, some kind of disturbance in your family, whatever it may be, God, God say, I got this.
Hallelujah.
If you're lonely, God say, I got this. I'm going to make you happy. If you're by yourself, God say, I'm going to put somebody with you. You're not going to be by yourself. I got this. If you're not happy at home, God said, I'm about to fix it. I got this. And you know how he's going to fix it? He's going to change you. He's going to change you. When he changed you, the whole house is going to change. Because evil can't wrestle with goodness. And when the goodness of the Lord start coming out of you in your house, everybody going to have to change, because the Lord thy God going to reign in your house because of your obedience, because of your faithfulness. Oh, Lord Jesus. Look at somebody and tell them, I got it. Tell them, I got it. I heard it. I got it. I receive it. It's mine. I have it now. I'm a champion for Christ. Tell them, yes, sir, I'm a champion for Christ. Woo, glory to God. The I am-ness of the kingdom is on my life. Say it.
I can't fail
because the kingdom can't fail.
And
the kingdom of God is within me. I'm a king on the inside. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you this one more, because it seemed like I shouldn't leave without giving you this one. Isaiah 6. You don't worry me. You can stay at the altar long as you want. You ain't bother me. That's what God wants people. It doesn't bother me. You ain't disrespectful. That ain't disrespectful. Lord Jesus. Don't come to the altar. Ain't never disrespectful. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I know you want to obey the apostle, but no, go ahead and get that praise on. God. Hallelujah. Yeah, God doing something for you. It's dying to men and coming fully alive to God. You heard that?
Yes,
dying to men. Now, watch this. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, you better look at the Bible. In the year that, because you're going to take your own. In the year that King Uzziah died, is dying to men. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. People keep you from seeing the Lord. People give you a little handout, little welfare, little pat on the back. Sometimes it's due, but don't let it become the main entree. It's just an appetizer. The real entree is God on your plate. And matter of fact, if somebody do something for you, God told them to do it anyway. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting up on the throne high and lifting up, and his train filled the temple. Are you ready for this? We got to close. You ready for this? It'll die in a minute, coming for life. Isaiah, and we go further, you know, Isaiah surrendered and said, Lord, who am I? Send me, I'll go. But in his first verse, when you read, and his train filled the temple, mean that his presence kept on coming. It was sort of like a long drape on the back. You know how you see a wedding dress, but much longer than that, and it wouldn't end. His presence just kept coming in. You thought it was going in there, and you got across the stage, but it's all the way still coming up the stage. That's the way it's going to happen in your life. His presence just keep coming. His presence just keep coming. And it's trying to fill the temple. It means that his presence never stopped coming. Do you know what that means? You thought you was blessed, yeah. But you made another step. And the blessing got greater. You thought you was blessed there. You made another step, and the blessing got greater. You thought you was old, but you made another step, and you became younger. Because see, hop, y'all let me preach up in here. His presence just keep on coming. You thought you was blessed because you almost got all your bill paid. You made another step, and he paid it all. And you thought you was blessed because you paid your bill off, but you made another step, and you stepped in the overflow. His presence kept coming. He just keep on coming. He just keep on blessing. I can't hardly stand it. I got to tell somebody what the Lord has done for me. He just keep on coming. I'm full of joy. I made a step. I'm full of joy. I made another step. I got full of peace. I'm full of peace. I made another step. I got full of his goodness. I'm full of goodness. I made another step. I'm full of faith. It goes on and on and on. It looked like I was tied up, and I made another step and got a word of knowledge. He thought he had me, and I made another step and got a word of wisdom. Then he really thought he had me. I made another step, and I got the working of miracles. He kept on coming. Do this with me. He keep on coming. The Lord keep on coming. In my life, the rest of my days, while I'm driving that truck, he keep on coming. He'll fill the cabinet of that truck. What? He keep on coming. Sometime I got to pull on the side. Sometime I got to pull my car on the side. I can't handle this. It seemed like there's another passenger in my car that I didn't pick up. There seemed like somebody in my car is greater than the car, greater than me, greater than where I'm going, greater than where I come from. There's somebody in here that is greater. He keep on coming. He never end. His goodness never end. His greatness never end. His mercy never. I'm trying to close. His mercy never end. His grace never end. His forgiveness never end. His goodness is never end. He just keep on coming. I cried out, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." He keep on coming. He leadeth me in the green pasture. I said he keep on coming. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He just keep on coming. Yeah, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because he keep on coming. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He just keep on coming. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my days, because he keep on coming. Somebody shout a praise. keep on coming. He just keep on coming. He just keep on coming. Fill him. We keep on coming. It's trained. Fill the temple. He just keep on coming. He just keep on coming. He just keep on coming. Every time I think I'm at the end, every time I think it's over, he just keep on coming. He make a way out of nowhere. He just keep on coming. Every time I think I'm gonna hit a brick wall, he just keep on coming. He 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 keep on coming.